All right, so today it is Monday, September the 5th, 2015, sorry, 2016, time flies. Thank you all for being here. Tonight's call in the hands of our dear friend Winfrey, who's here present with his co-host, our beautiful sister Terry Brown. All for participating with this radio show as well. Yes, Ben.
Don't be so mushy.
Hey, you're not doing it, I'm doing it.
All right. Well, that's how I'm being mushy. Sorry. Go ahead.
Somebody has to do it.
I just speak what comes to mind, and I forgive myself, whatever I say.
I know you feel it, okay?
So we are recording and we are live on BBS radio and the mics are still open. You want me to close those, Wynn?
Anyone want to say anything before we close the mics?
Yes, Wynn, you're sounding somewhat younger tonight.
Jim, you must be feeling younger and it's just reflecting.
Very good.
Jim, your ears are getting better.
Did you get some Viagra? Maybe that's it.
Well, I told my girlfriend we'll get married and honeymoon at Viagra Falls.
I see. Okay. All right. So this is the Wynn Jim Comedy Hour, okay?
No. But Wynn, I'm looking forward to Sunday's call because Sunday is my 70th birthday.
All right.
Well, no wonder you think I'm sounding younger. Jesus. All right, let's mute everybody so I can have the last word here.
All callers are muted and they can unmute themselves. All callers are muted and they can unmute themselves.
That's Hive having the last word, helping to mute people as well. So
I think I pressed first.
So, you know what? I picked a topic. So before I diverge myself, I'll get on my topic. And, you know, some of you, many of you who are regulars on our call have been privy to watching something happen here, which is pretty unusual. And we actually have been growing together, okay? We are learning what it's like. Now, I don't want to put words in your mouth or in your brain. So if this isn't an experience of yours, then just put it to the side. But when we started this, when we started doing conference calls, when I started talking to our sources through Daphne and Terry, I didn't have a clue as to what to do or how to do it. And if the truth be known, I still don't have a clue. The only thing I know how to do is show up and start talking. And, you know, some people think I should script things or I said something dumb or I offended somebody. And occasionally. But it doesn't work for me because if I lose the spontaneous connection with the moment, then the call becomes something other than it is. So those of you who have been on the calls for a long time know for almost every call, I said this is an experiment. And I said that because it was an experiment. How are you supposed to do this? You know, we're not supposed to be followers. I could just say the Elohim says this, the Elohim says that. I could just play their channelings. And it would be kind of easy to do that. And we do have plenty of conversations with them. And we are going to have one later in the call today. But the thing that I kept learning, and I'm still learning, is that it is about co-creation. co-creation actually describes something which, when you're in it, you understand it. But if you try to explain it to somebody, it's very hard to explain. You got to figure instances where people can identify with having that experience in their life. Because to me, co-creation, as I have come to understand it, is where we combine our energies. And how do you combine energies with someone else? It's like, I can't tell you how to do it. I don't know how to do it. All I know how to do is show up and start talking. And when I do that, I start to feel you, and you start to feel me. And we have these invisible intelligences in other dimensions, so they say. But we feel something. We feel something positive and good. And they say that's them projecting into our space. But you have to have the experience of it. And, you know, I didn't really want to say things like that for a long time because I didn't want to suggest that that was happening. I didn't want to appeal to suggestibility. Well, if I keep saying it, people will believe it. But at this point now, too many people have independently confirmed that experience on their side. And I can feel it. And, you know, it's very, very strange because even though I can't see you, you can't see me, we can feel each other. I can feel in your space, and you can feel in my space. And in studying the law of one, which is what our sources say, is the underlying principle, highest principle of the universe. It's not a law that you have to obey. It's like a law of physics. It's like the highest principle upon which the universe runs. And John Lennon said it when he said, I am you, and you are me, and we are we, and we are all together. Lots of times people who are really good musicians, songwriters, have that experience with their audiences. I used to have that experience with my audience. And it has to do with timelines. You know, early on, when I was first talking to our sources through Daphne, probably in the maybe third or fourth session. Now, let's look at my life at that time. At that time, I had this woman, and we got together. You know, I don't know if you, I'm not going to tell the story of how we met, but it was very, like, out of a movie. And she played music. And I played music, but I hadn't played music for a while. And I thought she was, like, my muse. And we were going to play music together. I didn't know we were going to be talking to the Elohim. And then there's that fateful car trip where we were driving to Portland, and I'm sure you've heard it a million times. Does anybody want to talk to me? And they answer. And I had no idea what to make of it. And then we got to Portland, they predicted a newspaper headline, and then she keeps interrupting me, telling me those guys want to talk to you. And I'm trying to figure this out. Do I trust them? I mean, the Elohim, that's a pretty exalted word historically. Do I believe it's really them? Now, who are they? How do they function? How do they function with us? I mean, the word has been used as a word for God historically. Well, what does that mean? Who is God? Are they God? You know, all those thoughts were running through my mind. And particularly, how do I know I'm not being tricked? How do I know this is not something negative? When Daphne and I were doing our initial sessions, and I guess the right word is I'm trying to vet them. You know what? I love that word, although they never used it when I was younger, so I've had to learn it. I was trying to vet them, asking questions, and seeing how they answered the questions, and seeing how I felt about how they answered the questions. And I said something like, what is the value of Daphne and our connection, okay? And their answer was that it's like somewhat of a wild card. It's not something that was in the mix. When I met her and she went off with me, it created the potential for possibilities that there was nothing to predict on it. And they said that I would enhance her best qualities, and she would enhance my best qualities, because we were both so different. And, you know, I'm kind of earthy and funky, and she is like, how would you describe Daphne, Jerry?
Well,
she's aloof, she's refined, she, you know,
sophisticated,
likes to be around, has a good vocabulary, likes to be around elite people, you know, has been in circumstances where, you know, she's fairly, how can I say it? You know, I'm imagining if she was listening, is she going to, like, punch me in the mouth if I say the wrong thing? She's not listening. But, say, you know, refined to such a high degree that everything irritates her. You know, if she hears noises in the background, she goes crazy. And so I'm with this person. And we're supposed to play music together. And then she starts channeling. And it was like, this is like a monkey wrench. What am I supposed to do with this? And so then I kept asking him questions, And there were different sources that were talking to us. It wasn't just the Elohim at the time. At one point, I said it was the solar logos, okay? Now, you know what the solar logos is? That is the center of the galaxy. And I didn't know the solar logos could talk, but it identified itself as the solar logos. And I asked the question, and I said, you know, I get a little nervous when I have new sources talking to us. I don't know if I trust them, okay? And, you know, we had Jupiter talking. The planet Jupiter was talking to us. The solar logos. Gary, with you, we only get morally safer, okay? You only bring in morally safer. Where's the solar logos? No, I'm kidding.
Michael Jackson,
right. But in any case, so I asked him, I said, you know, how come I'm getting all these sources? And they said, well, I was attending the University, the University, and that I was going through a training. And I was clueless. I said, I'm just going to play along with this and see where it goes, okay? Because I'm not willing to trust them. I don't know what to do with that. I'm going through a training. So if I'm going through a training, I'll go with the flow. okay? And then some of you have heard me talk about this idea of timelines. And I started to integrate something that as we were communicating with different sources, that different sources were in different dimensions or different densities or different timelines. And those are all the same thing. They all mean the same thing. But the different timelines, I think, is the easiest way to understand this concept, because we all know, or we all have the experience of time passing. And the experience of time passing changes all the time. Like sometimes we're tired, we have aches and pains, we're bored, and time passes slowly. And sometimes we are joyful, having fun, passionate, in love, and time passes faster. And as we started doing these calls, I noticed this very unusual phenomenon, and that was the experience of time on the call was different than the experience of time before the call. Sometimes after the call, it would keep riding. The time would be like the time would speed up. And, you know, we don't have a lot of entertainment value here. We don't have anything to watch. We have Terry forgetting to unmute herself. And, you know, Hive giving wonderful accolades, which I love Hive. And, you know, we joke, but Hive was on the calls really early on. And he just started coming in and saying hello to everybody. It was all very organic. I wasn't looking for someone to do that. I should have, probably. But he started doing it. And he was so even-keeled, so friendly. And sometimes I was starting the call and I had trouble getting into the zone. So I'm sure some of you remember that. I would talk around it and suddenly, somewhere in the call, something would shift. And now, usually, we get into the zone really quickly, if not just right away. And the reason for that is not only have I gotten better, but you have gotten better. Because since we're working with a group energy, when you guys are not up to speed, it makes us sluggish, okay? And by coming into these calls, there's kind of, aside from what I say, there's these energies that are occurring around what I say, around the words. And I have come to believe that those energies are the way other dimensions, other timelines relate to us when we're on these calls. And in fact, they're relating to us all the time. But we are learning as a group. I am learning how to get out of the way and just allow those timelines to be present. And I don't consciously do it. Terry doesn't consciously do it. But we've done it enough now where we see how it works. And we've learned, you know, when I asked Terry, are you ready? She says, no, neither am I. Okay, let's talk to them, okay? So you guys are learning this. I think you're learning it. I think you're coming in these calls and you're experiencing that quickening of energies. And at first, it's like, wow, that's amazing. And then you feel your chakras start to open. And then you feel this upliftment. And you're on a call, and it's just this boom, boom, it's over. And where did the time go? And then you come back to another call. And before you know it, there's kind of a string of energy between the calls that keeps holding. And you find your life starts to lift and speed up into a higher timeline. And days go faster. And where did the time go? And if you're not having this experience yet, but you're having the experience of time speeding up on the calls, then there's a really high chance after a few months or sooner or more, you'll have that experience of the time blinking between the calls. And that in life, you're holding yourself the energy of a higher timeline. And then you start transforming, catalyzing the transformation of timelines of people around you. And of course, remember, I said the timelines were the same as dimensions and the same as densities. It's just an easier way for me to conceptualize it, because densities and dimensions seem like you're going somewhere and it's like science fiction. But I can relate to time speeding up. I can relate to time passing quickly. I can relate to feeling energy in between the words. I can relate to feeling all of you on this line. And we can take a moment and shut our eyes. Let's do it. Just shut our eyes. And some of you are feeling the energy on your third eye and on the top of your head. And we can feel a band of energy that radiates outwards. I get emails from people that are having this experience. And I'm not doing that. I'm participating in it. The Elohim isn't doing it. It's you're doing it. You're doing it. But by showing up on these calls, you're making a decision to reach for that and have more of it in your life. And this is where healing comes from. This is where transformation comes from, through shifting timelines. This is where heaven on earth has the potential. If enough people shifted timelines and brought in higher realms, then everything on this planet would shift. Now, you know, it's not necessarily just the positive that uses this principle. It's that when somebody goes into higher timelines, they can use that positioning to control people in lower timelines because it feels good. And so it's only when you get to the, you know, closer to the top where beings are service to others that never use that ability to move timelines for control. And, you know, I know myself that although I love doing this and I love touching people and I love all the people that email me and are having our work contribute to their lives. And I love seeing Terry get strong and confident and be able to do what she does. There's so many beautiful things that happen around this work, but I'm not attached to it. I do it because I see it the way it helps people. And, you know, one of the reasons we don't charge for stuff is because I don't want to get attached. You know, that doesn't mean I'm never going to charge. You could naturally pay someone enough to do what we're doing. Couldn't. But nonetheless, I don't charge for two reasons. First of all, I don't want anyone to be denied access to this for lack of money. And second of all, I don't want to become addicted to using this work to make money. Now, that doesn't mean we couldn't make a lot of money from it. You know, a book could become a bestseller. Anything could happen. But my job is not to focus and do things for that reason. My job is to be of service to those people who are reaching and want this experience. And many of you have learned to do just what I do. Many of you have come in from very high realms, and you're in this realm, and like, as we have learned, when you come in from a high realm into this realm, you invariably don't remember why you're here. Even though you wanted to come here to be of service, it's no longer available to your memory banks. And so oftentimes you feel alienated, misfit, all kinds of stuff. And you come through many, many lifetimes feeling that way, trying to figure out, what the hell am I supposed to be doing? And I know that this work, I know that's true at this point, that there's loads of people that come in from higher realms, and that those particular kinds of people are extremely attracted to our work. And once they discover it, they don't. If they really get it, they don't let it go. And many of you are those kinds of people. And so I am really honored to have such a distinguished group of wanderers coming to our calls and having all this loving energy our way. But I'm not attached to it. I've learned that I can entertain myself really easily. I've always been that way. And it's like, I used to think I was weird because I was so, how would I say it, so self-contained in my ability to enjoy myself, entertain myself, motivate myself. That doesn't mean I didn't have obstacles, because I did. But I could go back and refer to that. And I know Terry, you don't fit this world either, do you? Unmute yourself.
As you ask her, you know, if it's in this world, you need to get used to the technology.
Darling Terry, Earth to Terry. Were you muted?
Yeah.
How do I guess?
Well,
now you should write an essay that's called "I'm Muted, But I'm Lovable."
Yeah. Well, I'm getting more acclimatized to being here.
Yeah. When you were younger, how did you feel?
Sort of out of place. At first I felt fine and like a wonderful time and video, and then things happened, and then I didn't feel like I fit in. And so I lost the joy of fitting in.
Mm-hmm. Well, the problem is it's hard to fit in when you're at a higher timeline potential than everyone else that's part of the crowd, you know? That's what I found. It's kind of like if you fit in, you have to contract yourself to the timeline of everyone that was part of the crowd. And and then it would be boring. Like, what am I doing here? I don't want to be stuck here. And then,
when I was little, I just started out to be the leader, so everybody just followed me. But then they sent me to a different school, and I lost my confidence.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, when the war came,
mm-hmm.
everything changed when the war came. World War II.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know what? I was going to do a little session on the last part of this call. Do you feel up for that?
Okay.
I mean, I don't want to push you into it, but usually when we jump, everything works out.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's an interesting topic because it's like when you start moving up the dimensions or timelines or whatever, there's not much guidance. There's not much clear-cut way of understanding it. And even the vocabularies change. And there's not English language to explain it. So we're making our best shot to do that on this call. So let's see if we can get further clarification from our sources. And, you know, I never know what they're going to say, and I don't even know what I'm going to ask. So we're really in the moment with this. So let's do it. Father, Mother, God, we ask for the presence of the light to surround and protect Terry and myself. And any negativity, we take them to the highest realms of light and transmute it for the highest good of all concerned. We see ourselves in the flow of energy radiating from the center of the universe, through the galaxies, through the Milky Way, through the solar system, through the outer energy fields of planet Earth, through our bodies, and into the center of the Earth. And right now, we invoke a group energy connection while maintaining sovereign integrity of our souls, and we invite those sources that are positive, service to others, honoring the law of one, to join with us. And we create a protected space that only the positive has access to. Anything not of that nature must leave now. And do we have our sources present?
Yes, this is Ra'an, and we come to you from different higher density from higher timeline. And we see that there is a certain meshing required when we move into the third density timeline, and that we have to slow down in order to mesh. Everything goes very fast in the timeline where we ordinarily are. But when we get into the third density timeline, there is so much. What would we say? Gross is not the right word.
Inertia?
What?
Inertia?
Inertia is not the right word either. But there are so many factors that take time to absorb the information. In our timeline, we don't have any of those factors to slow down the information. But in the density, it has to be absorbed. And this takes time. Thoughts take time. And so we experience a great feeling of slowing down when we operate in a third density.
Now, from our perspective, many of us are feeling an experience of speeding up. So when your energies mesh with our energies, you slow down and we speed up, right?
Right. Yes.
Are there frequencies involved with this, or do you just do it naturally? In other words, we have frequencies we put out from 3D, and you have frequencies you put out from your origination point, and our frequencies coalesce in a very specific way?
Well, there are in the third density frequencies that are much lower and slower than in our density. So these frequencies take more time to integrate. In our density, the frequencies are very high and fast, and we do not experience many of the lower frequencies. For instance, to give you an example, in your density, you are connected with Earth. Earth is connected with minerals, rocks, and they have a very slow comprehension, and the frequencies move out into the surroundings. And so when we are in your density, the lower frequencies need time to absorb the information. In our density, it is very fast.
When we adapt to a higher experience of time, which would be, in my lingo, a higher dimension, does that mean that when we leave this realm, we will have access to that dimension and possibly incarnate in that dimension in a more...
Probably not into our dimension, but into a higher density. For instance, if you move into the heaven realm, you need the tunnel of light or some way to increase your frequency so that you can comprehend and be part of the heaven frequency. The tunnel of light helps translate one to the higher frequency.
Now, you know, we've talked about the tunnel of light many times, that when you die, that there is a choice. It's a choice to go into that tunnel of light, which moves you up into the heaven realms, where there are angelic beings that work on you, help you balance your energy, give you a life review so that you can heal yourself from some of the traumas of the earth realm that many people experience. So, you know, the question here is, who creates the tunnel of light? How does that, is that created?
It is a wormhole that is like an elevator connection between your realm and the heaven realm. It is a set of spinning frequencies that move you gradually up in frequency.
Was it put in place by the Elohim or some higher source? Or was it an outcome of spontaneous evolution?
It is a outcome of some of the techniques heaven has devised.
Mm-hmm. So it's the angelic realm that creates this wormhole, okay?
Yes.
And so when people go through the wormhole, they're actually moving into a higher timeline. They're moving their whole astral body.
Yeah, and higher frequencies.
Is this realm that we're calling the heaven realm still in the astral?
Yes.
Okay, so it's not above the astral, right?
No.
You know, in certain spiritual lingo, they talk about the astral, the causal, the etheric, and the soul. Is that a good way to separate densities? A valid way?
The astral, the causal. What is the causal?
The causal, I think, relates to emotional, creative space. I should actually read the official definitions before I ask you to comment, okay?
Yes.
But if you were going to describe the realm above the astral, how would you describe it?
There's a realm in the void outside of all dimensions. It is outside of the universal frequencies. It is simply the void. That is the highest realm.
And if we talked about the part of the Elohim, now, some of you, if you didn't read our book, might want to go back and read it, because there's a great chapter on grace. And grace, of course, relates to miracles and phenomena that wouldn't normally happen in 3D. And the Elohim has explained that grace comes from an aspect of the Elohim, that it's maybe the highest aspect, or one of the highest aspects. Let me just say, is grace the highest aspect of the Elohim?
It is one of the highest.
Okay. And grace is an area where, how should we say it, can interface with this realm and create a flow of energy from the almost nothing into a manifestation. Which then looks like a miracle to us. Because
it bypasses the laws of physics.
Right. Bypasses the laws of physics. And then we have something happen that couldn't happen. So,
but yet, it is, there is a means. There is, behind it, there is a technique, a process that would make sense. It's not just magic.
Mm-hmm. Well, I would imagine the process is something where the whole universe is made of frequencies, and we have a rather dense set of frequencies in this realm, but on the umbrella on top of this realm is less dense, and then it's less dense on top of that, and that if you start like a frequency domino effect at the very top, it comes down through all these densities and transforms something in the physical that would seem impossible. Is that a good way of explaining it?
Give us a moment. Because the third density, second density, third density, fourth density are numbers that go up. However, because the density goes up does not mean that there is more dense in the area, as the makeup is thinner and the thinness creates more flow, higher frequencies. So as you go up in the densities, you go up in frequency.
Mm-hmm. And when you talk about frequencies, in the Earth plane, they talk about cycles per second, 10,000 cycles per second, 20,000, and in radio waves, really high. A question I have, let me see if I got to formulate this. Since you're dealing with measurement of frequencies in cycles per second, obviously, as you go higher in dimensions and the time changes, you can't even talk about cycles per second because a second is not a unit of time in that dimension. Can you clarify this for me?
As you go higher in the densities, the cycles per second increase. More happens in a unit of time, so it appears that time goes faster.
Mm-hmm. So if we were translating frequencies at higher dimensions into Earth dimension, in the Earth dimension, it might be, say, 10,000 cycles per second, but the same frequency at a higher dimension, would translate into 50,000 cycles per second.
Yes.
Right? So the Earth plane frequency goes up when a higher frequency from a higher dimension is translated downwards. Am I getting that right?
Yes.
Yeah. And so when the Elohim brings frequencies from their level, you probably don't bring frequencies from your level into our level. You have to already drop the frequency down tremendously just to access us, yes?
Yes, but we do carry the higher frequencies with us, and so they may affect your realm too.
So it's kind of many frequencies on top of each other. It starts out at a slower frequency, but we have the ability to track it backwards and tap into higher frequencies from the higher realms.
Yes. We can, yes.
Yeah. Okay. Well, let me see something. What time is it now? It's 6:53. And I thank you so much for being with us. And this has been a really interesting call. I hope everyone enjoyed it. You know, this is very rare to get this kind of understanding live and in the moment on our calls. And I know I get certain aha experiences. Do you have anything you'd like to say before we end this call?
It is a very interesting topic, and it creates an exercise in will to be able to slow ourselves down to be in your realm.
Thank you. And on that note, 6:54, we got a minute left. Highs is here. Highs, before you pick a song to play. We should have had the song today. If you could have time in a bottle, remember that song? That would have been a good one. But, of course, we didn't know where this was going to go. But let's unmute everybody with them. Say something. And I'm sure I'm going to get some emails from Don Herman and Rich Buckley. So, you know, on Wednesdays we have questions and people can ask questions. And if you have questions on clarifying on what we were talking about, then feel free to submit it on the Wednesday call. And let me unmute everybody. Hang on.
All callers are unmuted.
Thank you, Wynn and Terry. That's great.
Thank you, Wynn and Terry.
Thank you,
Terry.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You are on.
Good night, everybody.
Welcome, Jeff.
Is everybody?
Love
does everybody?
Love
does that
you
make
all.
Sense?
Is that weird?
Yeah. 4 or 5 minutes.
What's that,
Don?
What's up,
Don?
Oh, well. You got to tell us earlier.
I got the line. Okay. So, Darren?
Yeah, what happened? Where did
everybody go? This was feedback from the phone lines.
Okay.
But good, we're still live on the radio, and I believe Don said we have another few minutes if we want to talk about anything, I guess. Also, I'm ready to play a song.
You know what? Do your disc jockey thing.
Well, yes, all right. And by the way, Wynn, it's your favorite song.
I hope it's not mine.
Sometimes I just don't feel like waking up. Wanna stay inside my dreams. Sometimes I feel like I am breaking up.